Thank you very much. I'm very happy to speak to you today about relations of child-reported food exposure and preferences and parent-reported food availability with dietary intake and quality in youth with type 1 diabetes. And at this point, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Tanya Nansel and Dr. Denise Haney at NICHD in Bethesda, Maryland, and Dr. Sanjeev Mehta and Dr. Lori LaFell at the Joslin Diabetes Center in Boston, Massachusetts. And I have no personal financial relationships to disclose relative to this or any other presentation. Oops, here we go. So the reason we did this study is that diet quality is a very important aspect of disease management for type 1 diabetes. And there's an extensive literature about factors that influence diet quality in the general youth population, but few studies have examined these factors in these youth. So our group is interested in improving diet quality in this population, and therefore we conducted a cross-sectional study to assess the importance of variables that have been shown to be relevant in a general population. So child food exposure, preference, and availability of fruits and vegetables have been positively associated with intake of these foods, but few studies have looked at how these aspects impact intake of refined foods, such as refined grains, snacks, and sweets. And we also wanted to examine whether exposure preference and availability of food groups were associated both with the corresponding and non-corresponding foods. So for example, whether preference for refined snacks was related to intake of refined snacks as well as fruit. So the objective was to examine these associations in youth with type 1 diabetes. And this was a cross-sectional study of parent youth dyads recruited from a single pediatric diabetes center in Boston, Massachusetts. The inclusion criteria included a diagnosis of type 1 diabetes for at least 1 year, age between 8 and 18 years, and ability to communicate in English. For the assessments, we asked for 61 food items, the children to report whether they had tried the food, as in have or have not tried, and how much they liked the food on a scale of 0, do not like, to 2, like a lot. And we asked the parents to report for the same foods the availability of those foods in the household over the last 7 days. This is an example. These are the examples of the food items in each of the food groups, and we divided it into fruit, vegetables, whole grains, refined grains, and fats and sweets. For the dietary assessment, we asked the families to complete 3-day diet records, and they were completed after the surveys of the exposure preference and availability, and the data were analyzed using NDSR. We used this information to calculate the number of daily servings for each of the food groups and the HEI 2005 scores. And I don't have to tell you this now. For the analysis, we used multiple linear regression models with a separate model predicting intake of each food group as well as a separate model predicting intake of, predicting HEI 2005 scores. The predictors exposure, preference, and availability for all of the food groups, and we adjusted for age, child age and sex, household income, and total energy intake of the child. So these are the food group intake, preferences, exposure, and availability. As you can see, the mean intake and preferences were appeared to be higher than for the refined grains and the fats and sweets than for the fruit, vegetables, and whole grains. And these differences were statistically significant when we did a multivariate test of means as well as when we did pairwise comparisons with Bonferroni adjustments. And then you can also see that the children reported having tried nearly all the food items on the questionnaire, and parents reported having a substantial portion of the foods in their home over the last week. These are the models predicting intake of the different food groups for fruit, vegetables, and whole grains. So again, each column represents a different model, and they were adjusted for all of these variables as well as the covariates I mentioned. And what we found here was that first, for the model predicting food intake, there was a positive relationship with preference for fruit, exposure for fruit, and availability for fruit, but we didn't see any relations between the different aspects of the different food groups. For the model predicting vegetable intake, we saw a positive relationship with exposure to whole grains, and an inverse relationship with preferences for snacks and sweets. For the model predicting whole grain intake, we found a positive relationship with preference for whole grains, as well as availability of whole grains in the house, and an inverse relationship with household availability of refined grains. So these are the models predicting intake of refined grains and snacks and sweets. We found very few relationships here. In the model predicting refined grains, we found an inverse relationship with exposure to whole grains. For the model predicting intake of snacks and sweets, we found a positive relationship with preference for snacks and sweets, as well as an inverse relationship with exposure to vegetables. And here's the model predicting HEI 2005 scores. We found here a positive relationship with preference for fruit and with availability of whole grains in the house. And we also found inverse relationships with household availability of vegetables and of refined grains. So there are a number of limitations that I want to acknowledge here. First, this is a very homogeneous sample, so the results are not generalizable. This is cross-sectional data, so we can't make any determination of causality. And we also did not have a lot of variance in some of the exposure preferences and availability scales. You may have noticed we have very few items in the refined grains and fats and sweets category, and this is because, for the most part, this was actually a fairly exploratory aspect of this. Refined exposure preference and availability of refined grains and snacks and sweets are not... have not been really examined, and so this was pretty exploratory, and so in the future we'd love to expand that to include more items. However, we had a couple of strengths, in particular the use of the three-day diet records. This is a very valid instrument for assessing intake, and this is a population that's very good at keeping diet records because it's very important for their disease management. And this is also a fairly large sample size in a population that has not been studied very often. So we concluded that exposure preference and household availability were positively correlated with corresponding food group intakes, but this was primarily for the fruit and the whole grains, and much less so for vegetables, refined grains, and fats and sweets. And we did not find any significant relationships with intake of refined grains or snacks and sweets. We also found a number of inverse relationships, in particular between vegetable intake and preferences for fats and sweets, whole grain intake and refined grain availability, and refined grain intake and whole grain exposure. And we also found some significant predictors of HEI in this population, including a positive relationship with fruit preference and availability of whole grains. We also found an inverse relationship with availability of refined grains and vegetables, which is a little bit curious. We're not exactly sure what to make of this finding, except that hopefully it was spurious, but we'll have to repeat it in another study to see what that is getting at. And in the future, we hope to determine whether an intervention to impact food exposure, preference, and availability affect change in dietary intake and quality in this population, and to evaluate whether removing unhealthy food options from the home, for example, in the refined grains and snack and fats and sweets categories, would impact intake of both the corresponding and alternative healthier options. So thank you very much.